Please turn again to that portion of Scripture that we read earlier in Exodus chapter 3. Look with me at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And Moses came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Moses lived until he was 120 years of age. In Deuteronomy 34 verse 7 we read, "And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated." The life of Moses can be broken up into three 40s. For the first 40 years of his life, Moses lived in Egypt in the palace of Pharaoh. For the second 40 years of his life, Moses lived in the land of Midian, where he became a shepherd and looked after his father-in-law's sheep. And then for the last 40 years of his life, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, across the wilderness, to the edge of the promised land. Therefore, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, Moses is 80 years of age. And he's beginning the last chapter of his life, which of course would last for 40 years. Here in this chapter, and at this time, God comes and speaks to Moses out of the midst of the burning bush. And he reveals unto Moses that now is the time for him to return to Egypt in order to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And of course, the place where God spoke to Moses at this time was Mount Horeb. Let me emphasize again to you the words in verse 1. Now Moses came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Therefore, Mount Horeb became a very special place for Moses. Indeed, this place became known to Moses as the mountain of God. And we're going to say more about that just in a moment. But very simply today, at the end of this service, in the context of this chapter, I want you to notice four things about this place, Mount Horeb, in relation to the life of Moses. And I pray as we consider this subject today and look at this text of Scripture, on this portion of Scripture, that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts. This is a word in the main to God's people. And I pray, child of God, that the Lord himself will write his word upon our hearts, because I believe that there is a word here for us today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit himself will take that word and apply it personally and powerfully to our hearts. What do we learn here about Mount Horeb in relation to the life of Moses? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that Mount Horeb was a place of isolation. Take a look at what it says in verse 1 of Exodus 3. "And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert." Underline those words. "To the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Mount Horeb is described here as the backside of the desert. Indeed, the name Horeb means desert or dryness. Mount Horeb is the western peak of Mount Sinai. It is the most isolated part of that region. Sinai lies east, Horeb lies west, so that when the sun rises, Mount Horeb is covered with the shadow of Sinai. However, although Mount Horeb was a desert place, and this is very important, there must have been areas in that region that were fertile, because the reason why Moses was there was in order to find feeding pasture for his father-in-law's sheep. Did you notice that in verse 1? I'm sure you have, but look at it again. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And underline these words, he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Therefore, in the midst of this dry, barren wilderness, there were springs and valleys and pastures that were good grazing places for sheep. It was in this isolated place where God spoke to Moses. The child of God, I don't want you to miss that, because that is very, very important. It was in this isolated place, away at the backside of the desert, where God spoke to his servant Moses. It was away at the backside of the desert as Moses led his father-in-law's sheep to find these feeding pastures that the Lord, the God of heaven, spoke to his servant. What do we learn here? Well, we learn this simple truth. And I don't want you to miss it today, because it's very, very important. God wants to speak to us. And it is important for you and I, child of God, to get into that place away from the hustle and bustle of life and get alone with God so that he can speak to us. Has God spoken to you today? Has God spoken to you this week? Have you got alone with the Lord since you last met in God's house? My, if there's one truth, one simple lesson that we learn here from this passage of Scripture from the life of Moses, it's this, that it is vital that you and I who are saved and love the Lord take the time to get alone with God so that we can hear the voice of God speaking to us. Child of God, it is vital that we get alone with the Lord each day. There is nothing more important in the Christian life than to get alone with God and spend time with him in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now, of course, that does not mean that we have to literally go to the backside of the desert to get alone with God. But we need to go somewhere, isolated, where we can meet with the Lord and where the Lord can meet with us. And you know, that will take effort. And that will take commitment. And that will take resolve. The backside of the desert was not an easy place to get to, especially with a herd of sheep. It took Moses great effort to get to this place. And I'll tell you, child of God, spiritually in our lives, day by day, it will take effort for you and I to make the time, not alone to take the time, so that we can meet with God to hear him speak through his precious word to our souls. Encouraging to see so many young people in the meeting today. Let me say to all of the young people, in Mockrafelt and the young people here from Bethel who are saved and love the Lord. And if you're not saved today, my prayer is that you'll come and trust Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. But for those who are saved, oh young person, in your Christian life, make sure that you always take the time to pray. And make sure you always take the time to read the Bible. And make sure that you always lay aside that special time each day where you're isolated. Will you get alone with God? Will you shut out the world? Because you'll never grow in your Christian life unless you do. And let me say to the older Christians, let us never neglect or forget the place of prayer, because the truth is this, no matter how old we are, no matter how spiritual we may think we are, my friend, we're only as spiritual as the last time we've prayed. Never forget that. And you and I, who are saved a long time, need to spend time with the Lord. Even our Savior, when he walked upon this earth, felt the need to get alone with his Heavenly Father in the isolated place. Just keep your hand in Exodus chapter 2 or Exodus chapter 3 for a moment and turn over to Mark's Gospel chapter 1. It's a familiar text of Scripture, I'm sure, to most of us. But look with me at verse 35. Here we have the Lord Jesus, and he's getting alone with his Father. And we read in verse 35 of Mark 1, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he," that's the Lord Jesus, "went out and departed into a solitary place." That word solitary there means desert. So he departed into a desert place and there prayed. Turn over to chapter 6 of Mark's Gospel and you will see this again. This is a different time in the Savior's life, but he's still meeting with his Father in prayer. Look with me there at verse 45 of chapter 6. "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he," the Lord Jesus, "departed into a mountain to pray." There we have two examples, and there are many other examples of the Lord Jesus Christ getting into the isolated place, getting alone with his Father in heaven to pray. And of course, the Lord Jesus, when he walked upon this scene of time, he exhorted his disciples to come apart and rest a while. Oh, child of God, it is so vital. Mothers, it is so vital. I know that we're living in this 21st century so busy. So much has to be done around the home. Perhaps, businessman, so much has to be done around the business. Oh, but let us never neglect the secret place. It is vital. It is imperative. Our walk with God depends upon it. And I could not emphasize that more to your heart and to my own heart today. How important it is for the preacher to meet with God day by day. Oh, have we been to Mount Horeb today? Have we met with the Lord? Has the Lord met with us? Have we heard his voice speaking to us? That's what Mount Horeb meant to Moses. It was an isolated place, but it was a place where he could meet with God and where God could meet with him. Now turn back to Exodus chapter 3, because there's something else I want you to notice here. Notice secondly that Mount Horeb was a place of revelation. It was on Mount Horeb where God revealed himself to Moses in a most unique way. God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush. And although this bush was burning, it did not consume. Look at verse 2. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Now, it's interesting when you study this passage of Scripture, and I'm sure that many of you have studied it many times before, but it is most interesting when you study this passage of Scripture to notice how God described himself to Moses. He described himself in a threefold way. He described himself as the God of the past, as the God of the present, and as the God of the future. In verse 6, God reveals to Moses that he was the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac. And of course, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob lived their lives on earth in a past day. And the God of heaven was their God in that past day. But when you read verse 6 carefully, you will notice this, that God revealed to Moses that he was the God of the present. Because the wording is like this. Look at it. He says, "I am
the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You see, God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And although Abraham and Isaac and Jacob lived in a past day, they were still very much alive in glory. And that's why the Lord says to Moses here, I am, not I was, but I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Although Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived their lives on earth in a past day, they were still very much alive in the present. And God, who was their God in the past, was still their God in the present. You see, the God of heaven is not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. You see, when God spoke to Moses out of the bush, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, let me emphasize it again, were still very much alive. We haven't got the time today, but you compare Mark 12, verse 26 and 27, and you will see that the Lord Jesus Christ taught that very truth. God's saints never stop existing. Isn't that a wonderful truth? But I want you to take a look at verse 7, because in verse 7 of Exodus 3, we can see again that the God who spoke to Moses out of the bush was the God of the present, because God says to Moses in verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. My, that was something that God saw there and then, because the children of Israel were being afflicted in Egypt at this very moment when God was speaking to the servant Moses out of the midst of the bush. God was the God of the present, you see. And you'll notice there also, if you take a look at verse 10, that the Lord described himself as the God of the future. Look at verse 10 now of Exodus 3. God says to Moses, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Oh, men and women, the God that revealed himself to Moses in Mount Horeb is the eternal God. He's the covenant-keeping God. He is the Lord Jehovah. He is the God that changeth not. And the God of Moses is still the same God today. The God of Moses is our God. Our God is the God of the past, the God of the present, and the God of the future. Isn't that what we learn in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, underline it in your Bible? In this text, it is said of Jesus Christ that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ is the God of the past, and the God of the present, and the God of the future. Did you know that when Moses looked into the burning bush that day on Mount Horeb, that he met the Son of God? Did you know that? Look at verse 13. And you'll read these tremendous words. Moses asked the Lord his name in verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And then look at verse 14. Consider how the Lord described himself in verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. You see, this description here of God is one of the ways that God described himself. This is a name for God. I am. God called himself, I am. And of course, when you read John chapter 8, verse 58, the Lord Jesus Christ described himself as the great I am. Let me read that verse to you. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So Christ here in John's Gospel describes himself as the great I am. And of course, if you're familiar with John 1 verse 1, you will know that in that text,
It reveals unto us the deity of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 of the same chapter says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So, when God revealed himself to Moses that day, it was the Lord Jesus Christ that he saw. And it's very important that you understand that. You see, another proof that Moses met the Christ of God that day on Mount Horeb can be seen in verse 2. Look at verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. This description of the Lord is describing the second person in the Holy Trinity. Every time you read this phrase, the angel of the Lord, when the word Lord is in capital letters in the Old Testament, it is always referring to the second person in the Holy Trinity. It is an Old Testament appearance of the Son of God. Therefore, in Exodus 3, on Mount Horeb, not only did Moses hear the voice of God, but Moses saw the Lord. Because verse 2 says that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Underline the word appeared. The word appeared means to be seen. Moses saw God that day through Christ, through the second person in the Trinity. My, what a revelation Moses received that day when he met the God of glory. Child of God, what do we learn here? We learn this. When we get alone with God, he will reveal himself to us through his word. Through his word. That's why it is so important when we get into the isolated place, when we get alone with God, when we seek the face of the Lord, that we open our Bibles and we pray that the Lord will speak to us through his holy scriptures, because it's through his holy word, through the oracles of God, that the Lord reveals himself to us. And every time you see Christ in the Bible, that's God revealing himself to you. Oh, thank God. What a revelation, child of God, you and I can have day by day. What a feast we can have when we turn to the Word of God. That's why the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. If you're not saved in this meeting today, let me say this. The Bible reveals the God of heaven to you. That's why you should read the Bible, sinner. But you know, you must remember this. No one can see God and no one can know God outside of Jesus Christ. You can't know God outside of Jesus Christ. Keep your hand in Exodus chapter 3 and turn over just for a moment to John chapter 14, and take a look with me there at verse 8 and 9, and you'll read these words. Philip saith unto him, that's unto the Lord Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Take a look at verse 19 of John chapter 8. Turn back to John chapter 8. Look at verse 19. And you read these words. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Oh, I pray today as we turn to God's precious word that the Lord will give us a revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, when you read the Bible and study the Bible, it's so important that you always see the Lord Jesus, because he's not only mentioned in the New Testament, he's to be found in the Old Testament. And here at the burning bush, and don't miss this, it is the angel of the Lord that appeared to Moses. It was the angel of the Lord that spoke to Moses. The second person of the Holy Trinity. And here we have the Lord Jesus revealing himself to Moses in a most unique way as the God of the past, as the God of the present, and as the God of the future. And our God has not changed. Praise God, he is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Child of God, as you've met with God in that isolated place, has the Lord revealed himself to you? Have you seen the God of heaven? Have you heard his voice? Have you met with the Christ of God? That's what Mount Horeb meant to Moses. It was a place of isolation, but it was a place where he got alone with God. It was a place of revelation because the Lord spoke to him and revealed himself to Moses. Now, turn back to Exodus chapter 3. There's something else I want you to notice, and don't miss this. Horeb was a place of communication. On Mount Horeb, God communicated to Moses his will for Moses at this time. Now, it's so important. The reason why the Lord spoke to Moses at this time was because he was communicating his will for the life of Moses. Now, did you see that in verse 10? Look at verse 10. Underline it. Come now, God says to Moses, therefore, and I will send thee. So, God here has a message for Moses. I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This communication reaffirmed to Moses his true calling in life, to serve God by leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. This communication confirmed to Moses that now was the right time for him to go and lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Now, God has spoken to Moses 40 years before this, and we've already seen that. Moses already knew that it was God's will for him to go and deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Acts 7 verse 24 and 25 tells us that. But although 40 years have passed, the time was not right until now. The time was not right until now. And now God comes and he communicates this message to Moses. Moses, I want you to go now. I want you to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage now. And in this communication, God promised Moses victory. Look at verse 12. And he said, certainly will I be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. My, what a tremendous communication this was, because not only was the Lord revealing unto his servant that now was the time for him to go and deliver the children of Israel, but he was going to be with them. The Lord that was going to be with him, and he would deliver them. Oh, child of God, when we get alone with God, let me emphasize it again, in the isolated place, it all goes back to the isolated place. If you don't meet with God and take the time to seek the Lord, you will not hear the voice of God. God will not reveal himself to you. And certainly God will not lead you and guide you in his will. You see, that's why it is so important to spend time in the secret place with God. Because the Lord will not only bless us through revealing to us Christ in the scriptures, but the Lord will bless us by guiding us in our lives, leading us in his will. Do you know the will of God for your life? Now, when I speak about the will of God, there's two things I need to emphasize. The general will of God and the specific will of God. There's the general will of God for all his people. Read the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and so on. That's the general will of God for us all. But the specific will of God It's something completely different. Because God will only reveal that to me. And God will only reveal that to you. I know today that I am in the will of God. The specific will of God for me is to preach the gospel in this pulpit. What is the specific will of God for you, child of God? Where should your life be today? Do you know what God wants you to do in your life? Oh, young people today and us all, it's so important that we meet with the Lord, that we have our Mount Horeb, so that the Lord will communicate His will to us. And God will communicate His will to us through His precious, precious Word. That's why it is so important to spend time with the Lord. But notice something else. I know time's away. Notice something else in Exodus chapter 3. Not only was Horeb a place of isolation and a place of revelation and a place of communication, but you'll notice that Horeb was a place of consecration and submission. Take a look with me at verse 5 and 6. And he said, this is the Lord speaking to Moses, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Look at the end of verse 6. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You see, on Mount Horeb, Moses realized that God was a holy and righteous God, a God to be feared and reverenced. Therefore, Moses recognized that if he was going to serve God, he must submit and consecrate his life to the Lord. Moses needed a consecrated life, a life wholly given over to the Lord. Consecration means a solemn commitment of your life to some purpose or goal. In the case of Moses, he was solemnly committing his life over to the service of the Lord. He was setting his life apart to the dedication of the work of God. And that's what happened, I believe, on Mount Horeb when the Lord spoke to Moses. Dear saint of God, the God that we serve is a holy God. Never forget that. One who must be feared and reverenced. Let us remember to yield our lives completely to Him. Let us consecrate our lives and our service over to Him. We have only one life. It'll soon be passed. And only what's done for Jesus will last. And of course, whatever the Lord calls us to do, wherever the Lord sends us, we must recognize that He is a holy and a righteous and a just God. And the work of God must be done decently and in order. I'm often challenged by those words of that lovely hymn. We have only one life on this earth. And as vapor is passing away, we must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. Only one life to give. I must never withhold it from God. Only one life to live. I must not miss the well done of God. I wonder, is it possible that there's someone here today and you're living in God's second best? You know, it's possible to live in God's second best as a Christian. That's why it is so important to find out God's will for your life. On Mount Horeb, is it any wonder I said at the beginning that it was a very, very special place for Moses? It was a place where he got alone with God. It was a place where the Lord spoke to him. It was a place where the Lord revealed himself to him in a most unique way. It was a place where Moses found out the will of God for his life. It was a place where Moses recognized that the God of heaven was a holy God, and he fell down in fear and reverence. Consecrated, I believe, his life afresh to God. Child of God, we need day by day to consecrate our lives afresh to the Lord. We think of the work of God here in Bethel. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We need the Lord. That's why we need to walk with God. Oh, I pray that the Lord will come afresh into our hearts and lives, and that we will have indeed our Mount Horeb experience. if you're not saved today. My friend, the Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That's why you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. My prayer this afternoon is that you will come and trust Him. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. You need God's salvation. Time's running out. Eternity is hastening on. The day of judgment is coming. But thank God there is a Savior from all sin. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is the Angel of the Lord. I pray that the Angel of the Lord will appear unto you this Lord's Day and save your precious soul. May God bless His word and these few thoughts to your hearts. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the word of God today. We thank Thee, Lord, for the simple lessons, truths that we can learn from Thy truth. Oh God, help us, Lord, to spend time with Thee. Oh God, help us, Lord, to get into that desert place, as it were, that isolated mountain region. Help us, Lord, to get to the backside of the desert. And help us to wait upon God and to hear the voice of God speaking to us. Bless each head bowed in your presence. Oh God, come and reveal Thy will to us. Give us, Lord, that knowledge today that we know what Thy will is. And Lord, I pray that You'll give us all that desire to seek first the kingdom of God. Surely, Lord, the greatest priority in the Christian life is to find out God's specific will for our lives. And the greatest privilege after that is doing the will of God. Oh, we thank Thee, Lord. We thank Thee for the privilege of serving Thee. We thank Thee for the honor. What an honor it is to serve the King. Lord, bless Thy word to our hearts today. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.